glorious time we are having in the Lord. It's a great time for the church. It's a great time to be alive in Jesus. I bring you greetings from our bishop, Bishop Bill Hammond, from Tom and Jane Hammond. They're recently back in town. They had a nice chat with my dear beloved wife, Pastor Belinda, who's down there in Santa Rosa Beach for school these 90 days. So it's been like a couple of weeks go by, so it's time for me to go down and visit her for a little bit. But anyway, the Hammonds family, Tim and Karen and Cheryl, and they all send their greetings. They were talking to Belinda about, well, how's Pastor Ron doing up there? And she said, well, he's doing pretty well, but I'm glad he's not doing all that well, because without me, you know. So, but anyway, she sends her greetings as well. It's just she really misses you guys. But her and Lexi, her granddaughter, they're doing just great in the school. And they've sent me several prophetic words that have been spoken over each of them. They're very powerful, and it's just a wonderful time for our family. So we just praise God for them. I will be out next Sunday, but my daughter, Pastor Stacy, will be bringing the word in the a.m. and p.m. Amen. And so you'll be well taken care of. Our deacons and elders will all be on the job, and I'm only a Apple iPhone away from you, so be sure and call me if you need me. But the idea is I would fly out on Monday, spend some time with Belinda and Lexi there, go to the school, take part in that. And Terry Kuhn has already left there. There's a teaching down there, so Prophet Terry's already on the road. There's a teaching there next week on MSG, Ministering Spiritual Gifts 3-4-5, and he's going to come up to speed on that so he can teach it here when he gets back. So we have a lot of exciting things going on in the church these days. I wanted to today bring another message on the subject of living in the identity God gave us, and try to move us out of an idea of having to struggle to become something God has already created us to be. And we can live as we have been born again and brought into the family of God. There's a place we can live, and I'm trying to get it across in these messages, and I trust the Lord will just help me do that today in a better way. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you have birthed us into your own family, that we are kings and priests of God. We are sons and daughters of the living God. And so I thank you, Lord, for an anointing to come upon your word today that will reveal to us where you're moving us in these last days, to where your church is a church of joy, a church of authority, a church that's well, a church that's healthy, a church that's growing, a church that's reproducing itself. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you're moving us by revelation. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen. A subtitle for the message might be "The Secret to Living Free from the Law of Sin and Death and Living Bound to the Spirit of Life in Christ." How many would like to be for the Spirit of Life in Christ to just be bound to us and us to it, and it works in us? Amen. And another subtitle might be "The Secret of Being Empowered to Choose the Ever-Increasing Kingdom of Jesus Christ." And have life in the kingdom be your portion, where you're always living in what I call the kingdom of God, which is the superior wisdom, order, and rule of God. How many know if we brought our own life into the wisdom of God and the chaos of our life was changed to the order of God and the self-rule was given up and we came into the rulership of God, we might be in a pretty good place. Amen. And so the objective of today's message is to encourage us to put away the notion that we must try harder to become more like God on our own volition, and to adopt a way of thinking about how to live in the identity God has already given us when we're born again, that we have an identity as sons of God. Of course, we know that all mankind was made in the image of God's likeness. That's what Genesis 1:27 says, right? We were made. He said, let's make man in our own image and likeness, and let's make them male and female. God's quite binary about gender. And he gave us an identity first as being in the image of God. Of course, Adam lost that, but we regained that in Christ through faith in Christ. We've been born again as sons and daughters of God. So he has given us an identity. Then in Genesis 1:28, he gave us a purpose, right? Remember when the Burkholders were here? They taught on that especially. And I like the idea that first we have our identity in Christ, in God, as sons and daughters of God. Then we have the purpose revealed, Genesis 1:28, the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. It's really an interesting blessing. It said God blessed them with purpose. And his purpose was be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue. Oh, there's going to be a fight before the devil ever showed up. He said, you're going to have to wrestle here. Somebody's going to come to steal, kill, and destroy, but you're going to have to fight. I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. John 10:10. Jesus straightened out the theology of everybody there. And then the fifth thing, after you subdue, what do? You have dominion, which makes you more than a conqueror. So you conquer in the subduing, but then you rule and reign with Christ, seated in heavenly places with him in this life and in the life to come. And so God gives us identity, then he gives us purpose, and then he creates the Garden of Eden, which is the place of grace for Adam and Eve to work and to keep the devil out, right? Keep the garden, keep the devil out. Be fruitful. And so there's a place for each and every one of us where God has given this place or assignment to fulfill the purpose. So we have identity, purpose, and assignment. Your place of assignment's not your identity. Sometimes you ask people who they are and they tell you where they work or what they do. Well, what do? Because that's who you are, is what you do. No, who you are is who God made you. Your purpose in life is to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue, and have dominion. And your assignment then, I have various assignments, right? So the place or dominion or sphere of influence that God has given us, our personal life. I always say the most interesting place of real estate for me to have dominion and for me to really manage well and for me to make sure it's aligned with the purposes of the kingdom of God. The most important place or real estate or dominion or sphere of influence is that space between my two ears. It's right here where my thinking has to be adjusted. I can't be conformed to this world, but I must be transformed by the renewing of my mind. It means that my mind has probably been messed up. It's seen a few things it never should have seen. My soul has been accosted and abused. In our society today, there's so many inputs that are, you feel like you're bludgeoned, you know, that there's a vexation of soul. Remember, Lot was in Sodom, and it says his soul was vexed. There's a vexation. and you really have to manage this area up here. That's what I love about my wife Belinda. She's like, I said, well, it's 5 o'clock. We should turn on the news. And she's like, why? Why don't we like pray together? I'm like, oh well, that might be a good idea. So do you want to spend an hour listening to what the devil has been able to do? Or do you want to tune in with heaven and see what God's thinking? If you never think with God, you will never think like God. Let me say that again. If you never think with God, you will never think like God. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but they're not unknowable. You can know what God's thinking about all the situations in the world, all the things going on in between your two ears, and the things going on in your family. You can know what he's thinking about them. Well, what about this nation over here? God, the Psalms tell us he laughs at the nations that are in derision and against the Son of God. Doesn't sound like he's too upset that Iran is trying to have a nuclear weapon, right? But he knows what they're doing, and he knows what you should do. He knows what we should do. So listen for an opportunity to think with God. If you think with him, he'll change how you're thinking. He changes how I think all the time. Sometimes you'll think people in your own family are your enemies. In fact, Jesus even said that. And then he says, love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. You know, it's amazing. But he'll change your thinking. Your people who are fighting you are in more trouble with God than they are with you. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I can handle your enemies. Just go ahead and pray for them. In the book of Acts, Luke writes that God has sent Jesus to bless you in turning you from your iniquities. I often thought, wow, okay, so when I bless my enemies, the power of God is working in their life to turn them from their iniquities. That's a happy thought. Makes me pretty happy to pray for my enemies now, because I know God's got them. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. If he's angry with them, he'll deal with them. I don't have to. Hallelujah. I'm free from the law of sin and death. You see, unforgiveness will bring death into my life, right? But forgiveness will bring life. And so that's what I mean about changing our thinking, this place of dominion. And it'll bring the wisdom, order, and rule of God to our homes, our families, our churches, our places of business, places of government, education. Wouldn't it be great if our schools, school boards, school superintendents were working in kingdom principles? I think we can influence them. I think we can be a part of what God is doing in those realms. So, where we have identity and purpose and assignments, we will be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue, and have dominion. But what is that identity that I talk about? What is that identity? And I work on that a lot, because I know that if I get what I'm believing about myself, I believe it was Pastor Jeremy that last week or the week before, somewhere in here, he told us that God had challenged him to ask himself, what do you believe about yourself? Have you been doing that, Pastor Jeremy? Yeah, you've been asking yourself, what do I believe about myself? That's that identity that I'm talking about. And the first part of it for me begins in 1 John 5, chapter 5, verse 1. And I read from the Passion Translation this time. If you don't have the Passion Translation, they recently also came out with the book of Isaiah. It's really an interesting way to read what someone has done to the translation to help it be more impactful. But anyway, the Passion Translation, 1 John 5, says this: everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah. How many people in here believe he's the Messiah? Amen. Is God's spiritual child and has been fathered by God himself. I think King James says, beloved, behold now what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. The New King James says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. In other words, because you're born again and I'm born again, we love each other. Turn to somebody and say, I love you. And there's nothing you can do about that. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing you can do about that. You got born again. You waved your hand that you believe Jesus is the Messiah. You're in. You're under the love blanket. All those who honor the name of Jesus, I love. Amen. Because he loves. Praise God. So we're called the sons of God, first of all. And that's a mystery, right? That all the men are going to be the bride of Christ. And all the women are sons of God. So you need to just let God soak that in. The women are as much sons of God as the men are. There's no differentiation, male or female, bond or free, Greek or Jew. You know, it's just when you're born again, you're in Christ. And you have as much authority as anyone else in the body of Christ. And as much inheritance. Amen. I could get into husbands and wives and that submission of relationship. Some preachers puff out their chest and they say, no women can teach any men. But now we'll dismiss the children to children's church. And you can go as a missionary to Africa, but you won't be teaching up in here, you know. So just ridiculous things. But the Lord is setting us free. And I'm glad for the powerful women in this organization. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They can preach and teach and administer alongside any of us. And over us if necessary. So God has called us as sons. And Romans 8:32 says, won't the same God who gave us Jesus Christ, surely with him, give us all things? So in the sonship is where our inheritance of all things is. You don't have to work to receive. You have to cooperate with the word of God coming to you. But you don't have to work to. The work has already been done by Jesus on the cross and the power of his resurrected life to bring me into a sonship. And everything I receive is because I am his son. I'm daddy's man. You're daddy's woman. And daddy always takes care of his men and women. Amen. He takes care of his children. Now, you can do some things not to cooperate with your sonship. You can act like you're not his son, and it'll cut off your inheritance. You can run away from God. You can come short of the glory of God, which is the manifest presence. But anything I receive from God, it's because of sonship, not because I've worked for it. Did you ever hear the story of the unprofitable servant? Jesus told a story that was about the subject of serving God is not how you get things. It's because of your sonship. There's a joy in serving, and we'll get to that in a moment. I believe the other part of my identity as God is, in fact, a fruitful servant. And for that, let's turn over to John 15. I'm going to read 17 verses. I still have time. John 15. And I think I'll read it from the Passion Translation. Jerry, if you want to show the New King James at the same time, it'll be all right. John 15 says this, I am a true sprouting vine. That's what Jesus says. I'm a true sprouting vine. And the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. There's some translations that talk about the dresser of the vines is washing the vines. How many know we're washed by the water of the word? And that's how we're made fruitful. He says in verse 4, so you must remain in life union with me. We need to be connected to the vine, to Jesus. For I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will bear no fruit, your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to me. So how do you bear fruit? How does the branch of a grapevine bear fruit? Out pops a grape. Nope. Yeah, I've listened to vineyards, and they're not making any noise at all. They're just out of the vine, out of the branches, the fruit comes. Because it's alive. The one we're attached in is alive. And he will bear fruit through us. He says, verse 6, if a person is separating from me, he's discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you. And that's it. Hear the voice of God and change your world. The wisdom and order and rule of God comes to us by his word. He sent his word and made them whole, right? So when I hear the voice of the shepherd and I cooperate with him, there were words of prophecy spoken today and prayers prayed and songs sung. I believe the songs we sung were from the Lord. That Sister Sarah and the worship team heard the Lord and what to sing, and they sang what he said to sing. And when you sing what God says to sing, whoo, praise God. When the praises go up, the glory comes down. And when you prophesy, when you speak, the children are going to have a safe and fruitful time in church, in school. The same anointing that was on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are on our children. The same anointing that caused Joseph to rise up as a leader and to receive, sustain, and distribute uncommon wealth is upon all of our business people. And it's working. Why? Because we've heard from the Lord what he wants to say, and we speak it. And when we cooperate with his word, it comes to pass. The bus with the children and the aisles full of children will come to pass. When God shows you in a vision and then you speak the vision, you're abiding in his word and cooperating with his word. And it's out of that. We don't sit around and think, well, how can we have more kids? Oh, I know. Let's buy a bus. Well, you can do that stuff if you want. But the timing, the vision, exactly what you do. I the other day I was praying, and the Lord said, the only way to go successfully into all the world, because I was looking at Matthew 28, and I was looking at Mark 16, I was looking at the Great Commission of how to be sent into the world. I was looking at John 17. He said, Father, as you sent me, I send them. So I was thinking about being sent into the world. And the Lord said, the only way you're going to successfully go into all the world is to hear my voice and obey it specifically and consistently. I kind of had the first part down pretty good, hearing the voice. And, you know, but the specifically, you always want to add something to what he said, right? Or you don't want to do exactly what he said. You'd have to be in Sunday school class to get this, but a lot of you were. You have to hear the Lord to give up the muffin. Sister Leah overheard somebody behind her in a restaurant that really wanted the muffin that she just bought the last one. And she had to follow the voice of God and give up the muffin. You know, so you have to follow specifically and consistently to be successful. Success is defined as did I hear God and did I do it, not the results, right? So if you compare your results to someone else, or you compare what you expected to what happened, then you had an appointment created by your own mind, and you'll have a disappointment. God never disappoints. His appointments are always awesome. Verse 7, if you live your life union with me and my words live powerfully with you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it'll be done. There's a few verses in the Bible that you have to really get your mind around. That's one of them. If you let God adjust your desires, he will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 8. When your life bears abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. Verse 9, I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commandments, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love, that you might know the love of God, height, depth, width, and breadth, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Ephesians 3. Back to this passage of Scripture. Verse 12. So this is my command. Love each other deeply, as rich and as much as I have loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And the greatest love is demonstrated when the person sacrifices his life for his friends. So now he starts to move from sonship into serving one another. The second part of my identity, I am a son of God, but I'm also a bond servant of Jesus Christ to serve those around me in whatever capacity the Lord has given me grace and to whomever he assigns me. He says in verse 14, you show that you are my intimate friends when you obey all that I command you. So that we're moving into servanthood. I have never called you servants. Oh. So that's not my identity. No, it's part of my identity. I'm a son and a servant. I'm not just a servant. I'm a son servant. I'm a servant leader. See, make sure your identity is a whole picture of who you are. If you get your identity from what you do to serve, oh, I'm a pastor. No, you're a son, servant, leader, pastor. Otherwise, when people don't respect you, when they call you pastor, but they don't really let you pastor them. All the stuff that happens to pastors, you'll get really bummed out, you know. But if you're an unprofitable servant, and you're a son servant and a servant leader, honor is not required, but it's much appreciated. And I might just take a time out. The sweet corn was excellent. The gift card for my birthday was awesome. The cards of encouragement are fabulous. The call and tell me attaboy is great. Inviting me to dinner is wonderful. What are all the other things I can't even remember? You bless me so much as your pastor, I can't remember everything you do. And you show up to actually listen to me. And nobody's asleep yet. Some are getting sleepy, but not quite yet. If the only rest you can find is here, sleep on. Amen. I don't mind at all. It doesn't bother me at all if you close your eyes and rest in the Spirit. You probably get more out of the anointing than you do with what I say anyway. So I'm all good with that. But thank you for all the honor you bestow on me as your pastor. It's not required, because that's what I do for the Lord. He's my instructor, my boss, and I don't do this for what I get. He takes care of me as his son. All I need cared for. All I need is in his sonship. But he says here, I don't call you servants, because a master doesn't confide in his servants, and his servants don't always understand what the master is doing. But I call you my most intimate friends, for I revealed to you everything that I've heard from my Father. It's great to be the servant of God, because it's not like you think. It's not a servant without any other identity, connection, or intimacy with God. You're a son servant. He says, but I've chosen you and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit. Oh, no, we got to go into the world? Yes, this is just the locker room meeting. Hey, come on, team, we can do it. Now go into all the world and be salt and light and joy and administer the life of God wherever you go. Amen. Got some amens there. I'm writing a book. It's called The Divine Nature of Work. And in the foreword of it, I said, this book is written to all those who hate to go to work Monday. I did. I finished the foreword of it just this week. So I'm on my way, Kathy. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord to getting my book. He says, for your fruit will last, because whatsoever you ask my Father for my sake, he will give it to you. So this is my parting command. Love one another deeply. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. There's one more part of this identity that I didn't cover today. I'll cover, God willing, next time I'm with you. And that's soldiers, warriors. You're supposed to be happy warriors in God. How many know sometimes there is a fight? So the sons are also servants, and they're also soldiers. And God can at any time ask us to cooperate with his word in those three arenas. Sometimes you have to cast out devils, right? Sometimes you have to heal the sick. Sometimes you have to mend relationships. Sometimes you have to do some heavy lifting. But God has courageously given you the warring spirit of Christ within. So your identity as sons, servants, and soldiers is what you live out of. And I was maybe next time I'll share my narrative with you. Every day I say this. I am created in God's likeness, discovering who he made me to be. I follow the vision of Father God, the voice of God, Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in wisdom, order, and rule, precisely and consistently. My obedience is my main weapon of war. I am free from anxiety because I walk with God. I war to expand, occupy, and rule the life and dominion given me, subduing all things that try to hinder me from the ruling of my domain. I take my rest. I will enjoy the God kind of life. I will eat the foods that strengthen me. I will work easily yoked with him, and because he is the easy burden. And that's just the first 10 lines, and there's probably 25 or 30 lines. Why do I do that? Because it sets my mind into who I am in him. And then I'm ready to go into all the world. Father, I bless your people with their identity as sons, servants, and soldiers of God in the army of the Lord, in the family of God, and in the servant leadership roles that they have in their community and in their families. I release the identity of God and take away the strain of trying to bear fruit to just being fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. See you tonight at 6 o'clock if you can. Praise the Lord. Hey, Jerry, can you cool that just 1 minute? I had just one other thing I completely forgot to do, and that is...